The Lord is my banner is the title of today's message, taken from Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 to 16. We have three thoughts. The battle at hand, verse 8. The Lord at the helm, verse 9 to 13. The lesson for future battles, verse 14 to 16. The challenge that faces the young nation of Israel is sketched for us in her early journeying. Not only did Israel face shortages of food, of water, Israel had to contend with enemies that sought to derail them from their journey, aggressive, wild, fierce, merciless, bloodthirsty enemies that sought to stop them from fulfilling their God-given purpose as a witness to the living and true God, who would establish in them a nation that will be a witness to all the nations of the world. The Amalekites, it means warlike, were, after the water coming out of the rock that provided them the supply for their subsistence and sustenance. In fact, they viciously attacked Israel from the rear, where Israel was most vulnerable. In Deuteronomy 25, verse 15 to 17, is described who these aggressors are. If they had a way, they would derail them, totally wipe them out, so that they would not stand for the witness of God, for God. Deuteronomy 25, verse 17 to 18. Would you turn there? It says here, Moses recounted, after the whole event, he says, "Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when ye were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way, and smote the hindmost of the, in other words, at the real site, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he fear not God." Here you see how the enemy was such a terrible evil. They fell on them on their rear and smote them when they were faint and feeble, when they had neither resistance nor were able to escape. They came upon them. But you see, these are a people of God. And the Lord wants us to know that God takes care of His people. And there are dark forces that is in this world that does not like, that hates the light, the good that God and His loving character, His loving kindness emanates in this cruel, dark, fallen world. And a striking characteristic that Moses observed is that he feared not God. And that is why such behavior, they struck the Israelites while they were weak. In a normal battle, We said a gentleman's battle, men to men fight. Just as Goliath challenged Israel to a fight, what did Goliath do? Goliath said to the people of Israel, send you a man to fight. Send you a man to fight. And if he takes me down, we will be your slaves. But if he takes me down, we will be your slaves. Well, that was the kind of a challenge that the Philistines gave to Israel. But here, you see the Amalekites striking from the rear. Proverbs 1 verse 29 to 31 describe those who fear not God. Verse 29 of Proverbs 1 says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Who were these men, the Amalekites? It is observed that the Amalekites were the posterity of Esau, who hated Jacob because of the birthright and blessing. And this was the effect of what we said, the hereditary enemy. A malice that ran in the blood and perhaps was now made worse by the promise that indeed Israel, right, after 400 years, they have become a people and they have, by God's miraculous power, came out of Egypt and on the way to the promised land. But you see the power and presence of God to protect Israel from their enemies, how it was so evidently demonstrated in this battle. The Lord fought for Israel to give them the victory. Numbers 24 verse 20, Balaam the prophet predicted the plight of the Amalekites when he said, and he looked on the Amalekite and he took up a parable and said, Amalekite was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. He perish forever. The result of wickedness and sin, how they face the judgment of God. The battle at hand, verse 8, is the first thought. Verse 8 says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. It was Amalek who attacked Israel first. They were the aggressors. For the Israelites, they were passing by and going on their journey to the promised land. You know, they were not an army. They were a bunch of slaves, poorly armed, weakened, bitten slaves, just escaped from bondage and hard labor with their flock, with their wives and the children with them. Hardly an army at all. They are just a multitude of refugees. So they were just passing by. And if you were to look at them, you would see how pitiful they are. Right? After many decades of hundreds of years of bondage, well, they had their freedom. And so they were just there en route as God has guided them to go to another place. Nothing to do with the land, the incursion of any of the land owned, occupied by the Amalekites. But the Amalekites became the aggressors. And it must have been very frightening for the Israelites to be ambushed by the enemy. It was It forced Israel to defend their own against their aggressors. Vulnerable, isn't it? A group of poorly armed, nearly unarmed men. But they had God with them. You know, when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, after we give our life over to Him, the Spirit of God dwells with us. And the purpose of God given to us, to be a witness for Him, to the people around us. And the Lord wants us to know that we have God for our protection. We have God at the helm of our lives. That's the thought in verse 9 to 13. When they were disturbed, their peace was disturbed. God was there for them. Indeed, we live in a world that is very much the Apostle Paul wanted his church to know. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, he says here that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Here, the Lord wants us to see the battle that is at hand, the forces surrounding them as they came out to be a witness for God. There was a battle that is to be fought. And you would see how the people of God fight their battles. Verse 9, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had told him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. How did Israel fight? Moses fought by tarrying with the Lord in prayer, by the sign of the upheld rod. God said to him, take your rod, hold it up, hold it up. The psalmist says in Psalm 5, verse 7 and 8, as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of my enemies. Make thy way straight before thy face. The battles of life are fought first on the knees, first in the closet, before they are fought in the open. You know, dear friends, how important it is that we would spend time with God daily. How important it is that we would tarry with God in prayer, in our closet, in the Word, that God may reveal to us, God may show us what a new day will bring forth, and what we must do, how we can be equipped for that new day. Do you equip yourself each new day by coming before the Lord to find strength for the battle of the day, the battle for the day? Well, here you see Israel doing so. How the Lord was at the helm. Psalm 28 verse 1 and 2, the psalmist says, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle." There are many frightening scenarios that can come in life. At every stage of life, you're a father, you're a mother, and you're raising up children, you're a grandfather, you're a grandmother, and you're raising up grandchildren. For the Lord, you know that there is an impact for the future, and you have a role to play in nurturing them. You have a role to play in raising them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But you can see the many forces seeking to tear them from the good way, from the narrow path. And what do we do? Well, for the people of God, we seek the Lord. We come before Him. We come boldly to the throne to find help. And this was what Moses did. As Joshua was the man to lead the Israelite men to defend their position, you see Moses waged the warfare in intercessory prayer that Israel may have the victory. Just as Balak, as we saw in our prayer meeting last Wednesday, went forth in Mount Tabor to fight the battle against the Canaanite army, 900 chariots. Deborah was there behind the scene, praying that God may grant the wisdom to the army of Israel in their battle. This was the first mention of Joshua in our text. He was the commander-in-chief to contact with the enemy. And you see how both Moses and Joshua served the Lord in the area that God assigned them, their role and their task. Paul says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication." Do we need to pray? Must we pray? Need we pray? Well, we learn that prayer is power. For the Israelite to have victory, Moses had to hold up the rod. He had to tarry with God in prayer. And you can see that his hand became weak after a while. And Aaron and Hur had to come and to support the people of God. For the work of God to advance, must pray. Must be on their knees to pray. How can we advance the mission of God without God blessing our endeavor? Without God, it will be self-effort, and it will be very futile. It will be very fruitless, going in our own strength, going by the flesh. And God does not want us to fight our battles that way. But we know that for the people of God, we have God with us to fight our battles. What is your challenge this new week? What is your challenge? What is it that is bothering you? What is in your heart? What is it that is seeking to derail you from the purpose of God in your life? Well, I pray that the Lord, that we would take time to dwell with Him so that His Word may guide us, so that we may know what to do in our time of need, the people of God, at the moment of need, understood what they were to do. Verse 9 of our text. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose out men, go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. This was how they fought the battle. Verse 11. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Dear friends, here is a picture of a spiritual battle. How it is to be fought. Where is the source of victory and strength? You see, we first must begin by winning the battle before the Lord in prayer. So if you are a student, what do? Before you embark on your assignment, seek the Lord in prayer. Ask God to help you. For the Bible tells us we have Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of the Father, praying for us. Turn with me to Hebrews 7 verse 24 to 25. Hebrews 7 verse 24 to 25. It says here, "But this man, Jesus, because he continual ever, hath an unchanging priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever maketh intercession for them." Our Lord Jesus Christ, after he had by himself purged our sins, is ascended to the right hand of the Father to make intercession for his saints, that they will finally arrive safely home in heaven, whatever may be the earthly battle confronting them. Dear friends, do you know that when you have given your life over to Christ, He at the right hand of the Father is praying for you. Sometimes in our time of need, we don't know how to solve our problems. We are overwhelmed by what comes before us. Whether it's in the family, whether it's in the workplace, but here is given to us a truth that we have an intercessor who is unlike the earthly high priest in Israel's time. Right? They come and they go. They are weak. But Jesus Christ, our great high priest, has an unchangeable priesthood. The writer of Hebrews tells us that he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. And so verse 11 of our text says, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. We have here the two pictures of warfare. One with Moses, symbolic of God's presence and power, fighting the battle for his people. And second, with Joshua, the battle in the field, wielding the sword, doing the battle against the enemy. When Paul was fighting the battle of the gospel in the Roman prison, he wrote to the church in Philippi. He says in Philippians 1 verse 18 to 20, what then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Therein do I rejoice, yea, and do rejoice, for I know that this will turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He says that, I know, now I'm in prison, but my imprisonment has provoked many men. God has raised many men through my affliction to preach the gospel in many places. And he said, for I know this, that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. So he said to the Philippian church, the reason why he sustained is in prison, it's because the people of God were praying. Do you come to church for worship with prayer that God would unction and bless His word to your hearts? Do you come with that kind of preparedness each time you come to the house of God for worship? Do you ask God in prayer that He would speak to you through His word, so that you may be blessed? Well, you would see, Paul says, that it was through the prayers of the people of God that sustained him. When we pray, the Spirit of God works, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. What is the Spirit of Jesus Christ? The Spirit that enables him to suffer and not capitulate, even in the midst of great incarceration, imprisonment. He was a happy, joyous man. While serving the Lord, behind bars, under chain, the Apostle Paul was imprisoned when he wrote to the Philippian church, who was at a distance interceding for him, for this imprisoned servant of God, that the Holy Spirit that is sent forth, according to what we have read in Acts 1 verse 8, to fulfill the Great Commission, will grant the Apostle Paul the grace to witness for his master at Rome. Where is Rome? Rome was the nerve center of the Roman Empire. In Caesar's household, you see, it was very important that he would go all the way to the place where decisions are being made.
all the way where the men there would influence, have great influence over the matters of the empire. God sent him there as a prisoner, and how he witnessed to the Praetorian guards. And when the men were saved, you would see that there would be a change. They would not be cruel anymore. God's loving kindness would come upon them. And the Lord wants us to see the power of intercessory prayer of the saints and the provision of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit brings life to the spirit of man. The Holy Spirit brings fruit to the spirit of man. What is the Spirit's fruit? The Bible tells us love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. They were imparted to him to enable him to triumph over all his afflictions. This is the Christ-likeness, the communicable attributes of God that we can have, that Paul tells us he has been supernaturally supplied and given to him for him to do what he cannot do, so that all glory goes to magnify his Savior. The prayer of the church for him. Moses' hands were heavy. His hands became weary because of the weight and toil of lifting up the hand without ceasing. Of course, for the Apostle Paul, there was the care of all the churches. And he was at the nerve center there, waging warfare with the enemy. When Moses' hands were heavy, he was aided by Aaron and Hur, so that Moses' hands were held steady. For when the hands were down, the battle turned to the favor of the enemy. So the people of God have an important role in intercessory prayer. If you're a father, you're a mother, you pray for your children. The battles that they have to fight each day, you pray for them. You ask the blessing of God upon them. I remember my own grandmother. She said, after she was saved, I wake up in the morning, I would drink my coffee, or I would pray and lift up to the Lord all my children and grandchildren. And then I would have my coffee. That's the privilege we have as a people of God, to pray for the people around us. Do you pray for your pastor? Do you pray for the people in the church? The believers, your friends, do you pray for them that God may uphold them in their work? Well, I ask that we all pray for one another. Moses' hands were heavy. His hands became weary because of the weight and toil of lifting up the hand without ceasing. But he was aided by Aaron and Hur, so that Moses' hand was held steady. Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, our memory verse, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Be spiritually on guard. Pray for God's strength, that we would do His will and not betray the Master at the crucial hour." You remember the disciples that were described here when Jesus gave these words? Well, they expressed their willingness to die with Him if necessary. But when the time of testing came, they all flee. They all flee. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So what is the secret of strength? How can we prevail with God and men? A prepared heart. Two commands given there. Watch and pray. Watch! Make sure you know what is going on. You be a good watchman for the Lord. You be a good watchman for your family, for your children, for your spouse. See the danger. If you are not sensitive, if you are spiritually weak, then when the attack comes, we are vulnerable. And that is why we need to watch and pray. In the time of battle, Moses had to ensure that the rod continued to be lifted up. When he was weak, men fell before him. How great is the price for every lapse? And so our text here tells us with verse 12, "But Moses' hands were heavy, and he took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Moses and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." Watch and pray. What was he doing? He was watching the battle, the battlefield. Joshua was there engaging the enemy. Keep on watching. Keep on praying that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Verse 13. "And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. God gave them the victory. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the years of Joshua." Because Joshua will have to fight the ensuing battles thereafter. And here you see, Moses wrote it for a memorial, so that we would know They would know how the Lord's battle is to be fought. Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my ensign, my standard, my banner. In other words, I will depend on the Lord who will give me the victory. You understand that? If you are a student, then you depend on the Lord to give you the victory. How? By obeying His word. By honoring the Sabbath day. By seeking to utilize your time wisely and quit playing games. Well, the Lord speaks to His people. There are lessons here taught for future battles. The Israelites won their first battle. The battle to thwart God's purpose in their journeying to the promised land. God's power prevailed. And you would see here the presence and power of the Lord were the banner under which they enlisted for their victory. And the Lord wants us to do the same thing for our own battles of life. Joshua learned well that the battle was not his, but the Lord's. This will be the same strength that will enable Israel later on to take Jericho, the first fruit of the battle for the promised land. It was the Lord that will provide the strategy and the sign and the plan for battle. May we fight life's battle God's way as we fulfill His purpose for us to be His witness for His own honor and glory to a dark, gruesome world that is reeling in misery and pain, in tears and death. The Church of God has the solution. We are the only ones that can bring true help and hope to the world. If we will not rise to meet the needs of God's people in our generation, our life would be wasted. Let not our life be wasted. Let it not be withered away. But let us fight the Lord's battle by being alert, that we watch and pray, that we mortify the flesh. That may the Lord grant to us new victories in this new week and for the rest of this year that He has given to us, the year of grace 2022. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Grant us Thy mercy that we may understand how good a God Thou art and how Thou hast make smooth pathway for our journey as pilgrims to our heavenly home. Lord, while we are here, Thou hast a work for us. May we fulfill the destiny, the work that Thou hast for us, to Thy own honor and glory. This I pray with thanksgiving, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.